Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The Medicare open enrollment deadline has passed, and too many Americans, seniors, may have made a mistake when they signed up. When signing up, enrollees have to choose between Medicare Advantage or the original Medicare. You see a lot of billboards around here saying, if you have questions about Medicare, call such and such a number and talk to Jackie or whoever. Has Medicare become big business? Are the ones making a decision about Medicare being given accurate information or even all of the information they need? My guest today is Twyla Brace. She's president of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Thanks, Twyla, for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
And again, you know, this is a major thing. I see a lot of billboards around here. Don't know about up in Minnesota, but there are a lot of billboards about call so-and-so if you have questions about Medicare. So let's just start with the basic question. What is Medicare, and do all Americans have to sign up for it?
Well, Medicare is the government health care program for people who are 65 and older, and you are not required to sign up for it, but because of something that the Clintons did back in 1993, if you do not sign up for at least Medicare Part A, which is the hospitalization part of Medicare, you will not be able to get access to your rightful Social Security benefits. So this surprises a lot of people because they didn't realize that. It's not a law. It's not a rule. It's just something the Clinton administration seems to put in an operations manual at the Social Security Administration. And so in that way, if you want your Social Security benefits, you are forced to sign up for Medicare. Now, regarding what Medicare is, there, of course, is a lot of people just think Medicare is Medicare. But Medicare has the original Medicare version, and then there is the Medicare Advantage version. Original Medicare gives you freedom to go see any doctor anywhere in the country, any hospital. You don't have a network. You're not constrained by the health plans telling you what is and is not medically necessary. Whereas Medicare Advantage requires you, if you choose Medicare Advantage, you will enroll in a health plan, which then has a network and can limit what you can do or who you can go to access care.
But by adding the word advantage, it sounds like it's so much better.
Well,
I mean, that's the way that they're portraying it. It's an advantage to have this. But what you're saying, it's the exact opposite, because it limits your ability really to get good health care.
Right. And see, I consider it Medicare disadvantage, mm-hmm. because, of course, why do you have coverage in the first place? The reason you have coverage is because when you get sick in a very expensive way or in a life-threatening way, you have coverage to help you pay the bills without, you know, losing your shirt,
right,
as it were, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Medicare Advantage comes at a lower price, but essentially they come at a higher cost. If you find yourself with a chronic condition, or if you find yourself with a life-threatening condition or a terminal condition, because you may or may not be able to access the care that you need to improve your longevity or to improve your quality of life, it's really all up to the health plans. And when I say that, I just want you to know that there are 3 reports out of the Office of the Inspector General at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. And those reports actually found that Medicare Advantage plans were denying seniors medically necessary care. And the numbers are kind of shocking, because what they said is that if the senior or the senior's doctor or hospital appeal, 75% of the time, the health plan will overturn their own decision and decide to provide the care or pay for the care. Unfortunately, only 1% of those who are denied access to care ever appeal. And why is that? It's a burden.
Right.
They're sick. They might be dying.
Right.
They don't understand the process. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go into the process. They don't have, you know, they don't have the wherewithal to do this. Right. And so then the health plan gets to keep all of that money, which the senior is rightly entitled to because the doctor has ordered it and it is medically necessary.
So do all doctors have to, I guess, sign on to accept Medicare and or Medicare Advantage?
No, and as a matter of fact, we have the Wedge of Health Freedom at jointhewedge.com, jointhewedge.com. And in that network, it's a network of cash-based practices. So although they are physicians and some of them are nurse practitioners, there are specialists, there are family practice doctors, none of them take Medicare and none of them take insurance. That's one of our bright green line requirements for the Wedge, is that we want those doctors working just for the patients. And one of our very first doctors to sign up was from, I think, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And she had 400 patients in her cash-based practice.
How many did you say? How many patients?
400.
400, okay. Uh-huh.
But half of them, 200 of them, are Medicare patients. And those patients are paying cash to get a doctor who is in their corner, a doctor who will come to their home, a doctor who they can call any time of the day, a doctor who will come to the hospital when Medicare is paying and tell them whether or not they're getting ripped off or getting a bad deal or getting care that they shouldn't have or not getting care that they should have.
Wow.
So these are seniors with Medicare actually deciding to pay cash to get a good doctor at their side.
Because you mentioned back in 93, the Clintons, I guess it was an executive order that he signed that made it a requirement to sign on to Medicare in order to get your Social Security. Is that still in place? Even though it's not
okay,
the law?
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the law.
Right.
It's not an executive order.
Oh.
It's not a proposed and finalized rule. And as a matter of fact, for those who sued in 2008 to get this thing overturned, in discovery, they could not figure out who put those words into the Medicare and into the Social Security operations manual. Nonetheless, unfortunately, it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided not to hear it. Judge Kavanaugh at the time, now a Supreme Court justice, but Judge Kavanaugh gave a really terrible decision, didn't even answer the question of the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the Supreme Court decided not to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to happen because we have to give seniors the right to opt out of Medicare voluntarily.
Right.
Lots of them want to, lots of them can. They don't actually need this. But there are people who are dependent and they have to stay in there. But for young people, you know, they're not going to have a Medicare.
Right.
Medicare is going to be insolvent, which means it cannot pay all of its bills in just 8 years.
Right.
2031.
As
a matter of fact, the Medicare trustees say it will only be able to pay 89% of its bills. So, you know, 11% of bills are not going to be paid. What's going to happen? There's going to be more rationing of care to seniors.
So you're saying by 2031 it's projected that Medicare will be no longer, or at least will have to decrease its coverage of health care?
So it will be considered structurally insolvent.
Mm.
I mean, already today, there's more money leaving Medicare than is coming in payroll taxes, but they have had a benefit of having extra cash, as it were. But in 8 years, there won't be any extra cash. So as the payroll taxes come in, that's how they can pay the bills. But they're not expected to get the program fully funded. So about 11% of the bills will not be paid.
Wow.
And so that just means this is one of the reasons why they're trying to decrease the amount of money that they pay doctors. But then what will happen? Doctors will leave.
Exactly.
They won't be available.
Right. Because they have student loans to pay off and they have to pay their staff and they have to pay their rental for their facility or whatever, plus whatever, you know, everything, all the costs there. Now, do you think that and I think I know the answer to this, but do you think that with the government intervening really in healthcare, that it has driven the cost of healthcare skyward?
Well, absolutely. Every time you have a third party payer, so somebody that's not the patient paying the bill, then the costs go up. And actually, the history of Medicare is that the law was passed in 1965, and it was a rather devious thing.
Mm.
That would be a longer story.
Yeah.
But anyway, and it went into effect in 1966. And I heard once that there were 13 million people immediately eligible, but another source had 19 million. Whatever. It's a lot of millions of people who were immediately eligible who had never paid a dime into the program. And suddenly they had free care. Mm-hmm. And back then, it was free. You didn't have to pay a Medicare Part B supplement. You didn't have to pay a Medicare Part D supplement. You didn't have Medigap supplemental. None of that. It keeps growing. Well, it was free. And what happened is that the hospitals boosted the prices of their services. The doctor's offices boosted the prices of their services. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Ted Kennedy held hearings about the cost crisis in Medicare. And they started doing a variety of things, including the HMO Act of 1973. And the whole idea there, I believe, for Ted Kennedy, who loved single-payer insurance, that whole idea that the government would cover the entire, would control the entire healthcare program, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was his idea to get us all inured, as it was, you know, used to being told no. And so he funded in his bill, and Nixon really supported it too, building these HMOs all around the country. Well, those HMOs are now called health plans. And now you see Congress pushing seniors to go into the health plans, now called Medicare Advantage. And why is that? Wow. Because it limits the price for Congress. There's a certain amount of money paid per enrollee per year. So for all the millions of people who are in Medicare Advantage, those plans get a certain amount of money, somewhere between $10,000, $14,000, $15,000 per year, per employee, whether those people use it or not. But of course, they have the power to deny access to any of those dollars, because that's what the law says. They're a health plan. They can decide what is medically necessary. They can create networks that limit even how many cardiologists or cancer doctors are even available, even your wait for appointments longer. So this is why we call the health plans the corporate version of socialized medicine. And I do believe that Kennedy foresaw the idea that he'd put these things in power over the private sector. People would get used to being told no. Doctors would get used to not having their orders followed and waiting to see what the health plan will cover. And the health plans will essentially be the ones who are controlling the practice of medicine. That's where we are today, and that's why we built the Wedge, jointhewedge.com,
right,
to bring doctors out into freedom so they can freely take care of patients at an affordable price and do it confidentially.
Do you think there'll be a time, and I know I'm just asking you to predict the future, but do you think there'll be a time when there'll be a law passed that will force all doctors to take Medicare or Medicare Advantage, and that would eliminate cash-based medical care?
Well, the interesting thing about the original Medicare law is that the language is still there, which says that the federal government cannot interfere in the practice of medicine and cannot.
Yeah. Tell that
right?
to tell that,
it's
tell that
still
to,
there.
Yeah, tell that to Obama. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they would have to actually change the law. They'd have to go in there and change that law. Mm-hmm. I think that's unlikely. They will do as much as possible to make it as difficult as possible for the physician to survive. And that's why we're building the parallel system. Mm-hmm. And we know that every doctor and every patient would prefer to be out in freedom, right? Doctors would like to use their mind. They'd like to go, you know, just write notes on a paper record, not be forced to input all this data on patients and all the time that takes to do that, right?
Yeah.
And we know patients want a doctor who listens to them, takes time with them, answers their questions, doesn't tell them, well, you have to come back to ask that question because that wasn't part of this visit. Mm. That's what happens to patients today.
Oh, really?
And,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Like
my time's up. You've got my 15 minutes and I have to go to the next patient, you know, something like that, you know, being told things like that.
Well, there's that. Mm-hmm. But there's also, you asked a question that was not about your toe. And you came in here about your toe. You didn't come in here about your heart or your skin or whatever it is, right?
Right.
So I had somebody, when I was giving a speech to a group in Texas, somebody came up to me afterwards and said, I have this friend who just wanted to ask a question about, you know, whatever. And so the insurance company refused to pay for that visit because it was beyond the scope of the visit.
So
she was going to have to pay cash for that visit.
So the insurance company, so if you go over and above what your original intent for an office visit is, then the insurance company can deny payment for that office visit.
Well, I'm not saying they
in
can
case,
or cannot.
Okay.
I'm saying what they did.
Wow.
So she was, I guess she was just like, beside herself because she's like, I don't have the money to pay for that visit.
Right.
I just asked an extra question.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is not medicine.
No.
And, I like to say that the mission of medicine has been taken over by the business of healthcare.
Yeah.
And patients feel that today and doctors know it.
Do you think that Medicare, back to one of my, with the billboards that are in this area, encouraging you to call such and such, if you have Medicare Advantage questions or Medicare questions, has this whole thing become big business beyond the health insurance companies that are part of this or beyond even the actual medical community to where?
Well, there's a lot of big business involved. Right, so there's the health plans, and those are big corporations.
Mm.
But there's all of those who are the contractors.
Okay.
The health plans. There's the data industry. There's the quality review industry. They're all looking for federal dollars. They're all looking to be part of this huge thing called healthcare, which is one of the most expensive things in our country.
Yeah.
And it's because there's so many third party fingers in it, because there's so much different business in it, because the federal government requires all this regulatory compliance. And so the health plans, the doctors, the hospitals, everybody needs all of these people working, which is, of course, raised the cost of just going to see the doctor and getting something done. This is one of the reasons why we say that we have to get back to medical indemnity insurance. That's real insurance.
Mm.
Like for your car or your homeowner's insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
They send you a check and then you decide how you're going to get your
roof
repaired.
Right.
You decide where you're going to go to get your car repaired,
mm-hmm.
right? And nobody gets in the middle and says what you can and cannot have and can and cannot do.
Right.
The idea that we went this direction is because of things Congress did. They let employers get in the middle of the patient and the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Now the government's in the middle of the patient and the doctor. And we just got to get back to cash.
Yeah.
We get back to cash. Nobody gets in the way of the patient and the doctor or the patient in the hospital. Nobody does.
But all
those third-party takers who cost so much money will be gone.
Yeah, but as it is, if those who sign up for Medicare they're forced to sign up for Medicare, and if they don't want to use it, they're forced to not only, because you continue, my understanding is you continue paying for Medicare your entire life. That's taking out your Social Security check once you start taking Social Security. No? Okay.
So you have choices. Medicare Part A, hospitalization.
Uh-huh.
Medicare Part B, things like doctor's visits, physical therapy, all that sort of thing. And those are the two parts of Medicare that essentially come through the government. You sign up with the government for those two things. But you don't have to have Part B. And I have talked to people who have never had Part B, and they said they've saved a ton of money by
mm-hmm.
not having Part B. If you choose Part B, then it will be taken out of your Social Security payment.
Okay, so Part
only
B.
If you choose Part B. Now, if you decide, so everybody gets the choice of signing up for A and B, or just A, or both of them, right? And then the choice that comes after that is whether they're going to choose, they don't have to. They could have Medigap supplemental to help them pay for their deductibles and co-pays and co-insurance
mm-hmm.
that aren't covered by Medicare A and Medicare B. And then they could have Medicare Part D, which is drug coverage, because Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B don't cover it. They used to, right, until this Medicare Part D happened.
Yeah.
And Medicare Part D is only, it's completely separate from the government. It's approved by the government. It's set by the government, all that kind of stuff. But it comes out of different entities, including health plans. So you could have, if you're in original Medicare,
mm-hmm.
you'll be Part A. You'll have a choice about Part B. And if you have A and B, you can have a choice about supplemental, which is also called Medigap. And then you can decide to have drug coverage, which is D. If you go into Medicare Advantage, the way to look at that is as though a Medicare Advantage is a circle into which Part A, Part B, supplemental, and Part D are all inside the circle. Some people actually have Medicare Advantage and have it be outside of it, but most people have it inside that circle. Mm-hmm. And because Medicare Advantage is one big circle with everything in it, the federal government pays Medicare Advantage all those dollars, and then Medicare Advantage, the health plans, control all those dollars and therefore can ration your care and limit access to care. That's the difference between in Medicare Part A and B. It's whatever Medicare, the law, says you can have, and you can go there and get it. Nobody will tell you no.
Right.
As long as the Medicare administration hasn't said, yeah, we don't actually cover that. You know, you can get that, right?
Right.
So it's more expensive to be in original Medicare, but you'll have freedom.
Right.
And if you get a catastrophic coverage, a serious illness, you'll have to wait until you can go. And if you're in Medicare Advantage, you'll have to wait until you can go back to original Medicare. However, you might not be able to get the supplemental to help you pay your deductibles and copays because you only have 6 months. I think it's 6 months mm-hmm. after you make your Medicare decision. I think you've just got 6 months to decide on a supplemental policy. And they can't underwrite you. They can't go through your medical records and figure out how expensive you are or mm-hmm. could be to them mm-hmm. during those 6 months. But after that, they can do that. And they can actually tell you, we won't accept you. So if you've been in Medicare Advantage for 5 years and suddenly you realize, oh my goodness, I've got cancer. And I did Health Freedom Minute on cancer and Medicare Advantage in a study that found it wasn't very good if you had cancer, right? So you decide, well, I'm going to go back to original Medicare. But now all the supplemental policies that you could pick from, all of them say, well, you've got cancer. No, we don't want to pay for your deductibles
right.
and copays. We won't accept you. You might never be able to get a supplemental policy if you change your mind later.
Right. Wow. So when was Medicare Advantage passed? When did it become law, or did it become law just was a policy change, or how did that all happen? And why do you think seniors are being really, I think, taken advantage of when it comes
right.
to the Medicare thing?
Well, it's so confusing. That's one of the reasons
okay.
they can be taken
that's
advantage
true.
Of.
That's true.
And have incentives to get you, financial incentives to get you yeah. into Medicare Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But it came in 2003, although there was an HMO version called Medicare C before that. But the government was telling the health plans before that, nope, we're only going to give you this much money. And it wasn't what the health plans wanted, and the health plans started dropping the seniors left and right and just telling them, nope, we're not covering you anymore.
Mm.
And so in 2003, they created Medicare Plus C, not Medicare C, Medicare Plus C,
mm-hmm.
and called it Medicare Advantage.
Oh, okay.
And so it has been in place for 20 years.
Yes.
And now the government pays the health plans kind of what the health plans want, because the government wants everybody in the health plans. And actually the health plans can offer a cheaper price because they get such a good money from the federal government
mm-hmm.
and they have the authority to withhold it if yep. they choose.
So if someone is in, you know, has signed up for Medicare Advantage, and of course the enrollment period has stopped for 2023. They have Medicare Advantage, but they want to change. They want to switch to original Medicare. Can they do that?
Yes. So there's a whole variety of enrollment periods in Medicare, some of which I can't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one that starts January 1st and it ends March 31st. And then you can change back to original Medicare. So if you're healthy,
mm-hmm.
no time like the present to go back.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And see if you can get a supplemental policy. And then if you aren't and you are looking at the Medicare Advantage plans, you can't get a supplemental policy, you can go back to Medicare and just deal with the prices for deductibles and
mm-hmm.
copays and coinsurance on your own, and at least be able to travel around the country to any doctor that you want to go to.
Yeah.
Or, of course, you can also go look at the variety of Medicare Advantage plans and see if there's one that you think is better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing about all of that is that United Health Group has recently been sued for not paying for emergency room care. And then they were just sued for cutting off people rehab from any payment for their care, despite the fact that they were still needed to be in there.
Right.
And Humana was just sued, I think yesterday or the day before, for the very same thing, cutting off people from payment for their rehab care, even though they still needed it.
Wow.
So it's, you know, to look up losses, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, for the ones that you're thinking of, that would be
mm-hmm.
a good idea
to
see what you can find.
That's for sure. How can folks contact you? I know you guys put out a news release recently concerning the Medicare Original and Medicare Advantage. So how can folks find that news release and how, of course, through your website? So what's your website?
Yep. They can go to www.tchfreedom.org. freedom.org. CCHfreedom.org.
And I'll tell you what, there's so many questions swirling around this whole healthcare, the health industry, which is what it really has become. So I do encourage our listeners to go to CCHfreedom.org. Was it .org?
Yes.
Okay, CCHfreedom.org.
We are working on a handbook to help Americans on this issue of Medicare. So
great.
Next year that should be out.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks. Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And you take care.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.